Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Alex and Gerard in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news, 420.gif, more Gerard questions, and, as always, Patreon presents Fan Q&A. The date is April 20th, 2023. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 17th ever episode of the Super Beard Show. My name is Alex. Gerard is over there joining me today on the show and back there standing just so I can see half of his entire body and one of his eyeballs. Ted is looming over me like
Lurch.
I only
see his hat.
Yeah.
I see Big Shot and that's it.
His hat says Big Shot on it and he's wearing a shirt with his own likeness as the main thing on the shirt. So how you doing, Ted?
I'm good. I'm feeling like I need to stand more.
Oh, okay. That's good.
We're not getting a standing desk, Ted. They're too expensive.
You know, you want to know a hack? Because I use an iPad to write. I use a music stand instead of a standing desk.
That makes sense. That's actually real smart. Yeah,
get wrecked, everyone. What's up? Just in case you didn't believe me that Gerard's actually back on Super Beard Bros, he's here again. He's on the show.
Hi.
Just a normal host of the show. The show.
A guest anymore. No, I graduated.
He went to the school of hard knocks, aka he beat all three Donkey Kong Country games.
It's true. That's what it takes to be inside of the hard knocks.
Everybody wants to know what Super Beard Bros is. How come I don't lose my Beard Bro status when I shave my beard? It's because I played all three Donkey Kong Country games.
And it grows back.
We are looking to replace Gerard with AI.
You know what?
We can clone his voice.
Replace me.
Ted, you're fired. You're AI. Gerard, you're AI. Sorry, you're AI now. you're not even real. You're not. It's not. I'm not.
For what it's worth, I haven't felt real.
You're not fired.
So.
You're just. You are AI now.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right now, I'm a robot.
That's the kind of deep shit we go into here on the show.
On the show.
Today is 420.
Alex, what are you doing today?
Nothing. No, I actually like got COVID. So like, COVID is wild because everybody's like really accommodating because you can't like do anything. Like, but then you like get back and then immediately you're like 3 weeks behind on like everything you've done because like you can't control time. You're not a time traveler.
Yeah. I got sick during Christmas of 2021.
You had the greatest stats for like what days to get COVID. Perfect COVID. Like nobody.
After our holiday party, I got COVID.
Yeah. I don't want anybody to have COVID. However.
But I got it during Christmas break.
I did too. Twice. 2 years in a row.
I got super, super high and watched all of Seinfeld and didn't talk to family. I had an amazing time.
Yeah, it was wild. I got COVID and it was fine. It was fine. I got through it. It was on both my girlfriend's birthday and Easter. So that was a bummer. But other than that, I'm back. I'm feeling good. And let's jump into the news.
Is there a bumper for that? Is there a sound, a clip? Anything?
Yeah. No, I actually do go in and.
Is there a theme song that I'm not hearing right now because I'm in the room?
It goes.
News.
Yeah, exactly like that.
World premiere.
World news. Nightly. I changed up the news a couple episodes ago. I like this better.
I love it.
Yeah. Rather than me bringing, like, I saw a DeLorean as my news.
You, the audience, will bring the news.
Yeah. I gave you guys.
What do you guys think about this DeLorean that's brought to me? Yeah. Huh? What do you think about that?
Hey, I was on a walk the other day and I took a picture of somebody's DeLorean.
Wow.
I invaded their privacy.
You're actually go back in time?
Can you show it on the screen? But blow out their license plate so I'm not invading their privacy. Thanks.
Yeah.
What happens when that goes 88 miles an hour?
I wonder what happens if it hits 88, huh? Have you ever seen that movie?
Oh, man. You better wear a bulletproof vest, Tom Martin.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. You better not go to the Twin Pines Mall. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
man.
Round one. At the mall. That's at the mall.
Oh, my gosh. That's we can go there. Yeah. JC Penney, bro.
Doki Doki Panic. Okay. The real news is on you guys all. I had you guys send us in some news. This is all the patrons. At our lovely website, patreon.com/superbeardbros.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, you should. You should go there. Check it out. Just, you know what? Just go there. Log in. Log on. Log on.
Log on, my guy.
Please. Log on to my product.
Log on to the prod.
So this first one comes from Awful Possum. He says, summer games done quick. Just released their schedule this year. Pretty excited to see games like Hi-Fi Rush and Sifu get rushed through with some crazy efficiency. Is there a game you know so intimately it seems like you're speedrunning it?
Shovel Knight. I'm already doing it. I'm training. I'll see you at the next.
Oh shit, Gerard. Direct.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's yeah. happening. I'm hoping to be ready by January of next year to hopefully take the world record for the. It's a very small category, but it's one that I think would be cool to do in live in front of an audience, and it's 100% Shovel Knight, all achievements.
Dude,
which is two playthroughs.
That's a lot of
that's a lot of shove.
That's a lot of shoving.
But world records right now 235 by Amumu, who is training me to who's training me.
So eventually you're going to
take his record.
Give him the 1-inch punch to the heart and surpass him.
Yeah, he like wants me to. If it means getting the spotlight on Shovel Knight speedrunning again.
That's a real sensei right there. You got to
shout outs to Amumu.
Yeah, shout outs to Amumu. I don't know if this counts as a speed run, but I usually beat the original Devil May Cry twice when I sit down to play it. Like usually when I sit down to play the game, I play through it two full times in a sitting.
Wow. Ted, are you playing Wario's Woods? Is that your game?
No, I actually haven't touched that in a long time.
I don't believe you.
I want you guys to know I did some illicit video game preservation.
Oh, did you?
And I got Ted in touch with the Black Queen once again.
The Black Queen?
Yes. It's Ted loves the game Ogre Battle.
Sinfully delicious.
March of the Black Queen. Not Tactics Ogre, the game that everybody loves and was remade, but the slightly different original game. I'm just roasting Ted though. That game's really good, but I've been seeing him.
He just keeps talking about it, but he's not playing it, so you made him play it.
I'm not streaming it. I am playing it.
He was mystified by the modern day software of video game preservation.
Oh, you mean you could buy the game online?
Not, well, yeah.
Buy it with
your actions rather than your money. You know what I mean? That's what I say. I hooked him up with it, and he seems to be enjoying it. He has a few ticky-tacky notes, but he's in there.
Ticky-tacky notes.
Very super splitting hair thing.
Yeah.
But I'm like 99.5% super pleased.
There you go.
What would you speedrun, Ted, if you could?
Messenger.
Ooh.
I'm going to tell Terry. He's going to give you a big old kiss.
I should probably... sit down and beat that game cover to cover once.
Oh, dude.
I played it so many times. Like,
what are you doing?
I played like, you know, 4 hours here, 2 hours here. I've like played all different like phases of the game. But I should just bop that one cover to
cover.
Shout
outs to Eric.
Fuck, it's good.
Shout outs to Eric, aka Rainbow Dragon Eyes. What a legend. That man. That dude, he came to my live show in Denver.
God tier.
Brought his partner and was like, that was pretty cool, bro.
Hey, that was tight.
And then like disappeared. I talk to him every now and then. He's a good guy. I love him.
Am I? Did I? What is Leonard Nimoy say in The Simpsons? Did I? And then he disappears. Yeah. Gets beamed up.
Back to the news.
Okay, so that was SGDQ. Good job.
N-O-O-Z.
Hi-Fi Rush looks dope. News. PK Kirby says, you want to read this one?
Sure.
Okay.
In Arkansas, a new bill was signed that makes it so people under the age of 18 cannot sign into social media without parental consent.
Huh.
That's a great law.
Huh.
This is done by having social media companies require that users submit a digital identification card, such as a driver's license or some form of government-issued documentation. This makes Arkansas the second state to have a law like this, the first being Utah. This primarily affects apps like TikTok, which is already getting grilled for how it stores data. Do you bros think these bills will remain outliers in the U.S. or will more states join them? In your opinion, should more states have this kind of verification method to stop under 18 from using social media without consent?
This is a great question. I love this.
I personally, just real quick, I don't think this is like a left or right political debate. This is
no, not at all.
Just want to throw it out there before people are like, oh, here come the woke.
Yeah.
Here come the right. Here come the left. No, none of that. This is just a pure, great question.
First thing I want to highlight before I get into this is that free speech is not infringed when a private company or a state like requires you to have registration or requires you to license for a specific website.
Yeah, this is not a free speech, my rights issue.
I almost wouldn't be against it, like looking at the internet from the side that we often look at it, like having, you have to have an internet license the same way you need a driver's license, because I think that you can do just as much damage on the internet, if not more, than you can with a car. And if you don't believe me, just check out that fucking fake blue check mark that like tanked the like insulin stock of that company by like posing as them for like a day and saying that they were lowering the price of insulin so far. Like
they did that?
Yeah. Like
when the check marks got introduced, people were doing that.
That happened like day one.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a Lilly, whatever that insulin producing like pharmaceutical company lost like money because of this, like huge amounts of money, like devalued their company. So like on the one hand, I do think that like in a certain level of, I've said this before on the show, like if a website gets a certain amount of traffic, I am all for you having to have a license to be there and like influence, like add your influence to that group of people, just sure. like you would to be outside in the streets of the United States. You need to have a driver's license. You need to have state identification, you know, for certain reasons, like that if you, you know, shoot someone in the street and they get you, they can tell who the fuck you are, for example. Like, it's not a crazy thing. It's not infringing on your right to privacy on the internet. You can still go post on some ding dong empty website somewhere anonymously. It's just going on social media and having a sort of license to do so, and you have to connect it to your real self. I think that's good. Is that weird? Is that like not punk rock answer?
Maybe. I mean, look, I agree with you. I agree just because if I was, we should not have been on the internet at the age that we were. Like, you guys got to understand, the internet came around when we were 12 years old, 13 years old.
Humans,
the internet started.
I don't think humans can handle it
When I say it started, I mean, that's when like the true broadband aspect came. I'm talking like post,
where it's part of your goddamn life.
Post AOL connecting to a digit number dial up modem. Like when cable internet was around, we were 12, 13, 14 years old, and it changed everything. Like, chat rooms went out the window. Enter in LiveJournal and Zanga.
Yeah.
Enter in MySpace,
Tumblr.
Tumblr, Facebook, StumbleUpon. Like these websites. And looking back at it, I mean, Alex, I don't know if you have admitted to this. I can admit to it. I trolled people I didn't like. I trolled people who were mean to me, who were bullies to me. I was an asshole online, but I learned very quickly, like, the actions that I took have consequences.
Affect people,
and it took me a while. Like I went through phases where, like, when I was young, I would like do it, and then I got in trouble and I'd stop. And then, like, when I was 18 or 19 in college, there were folks who were still mean to me, and I was like, fuck this person, like, maybe I can troll them to like open their eyes. And that didn't work. You know, so like, to me, social media was not designed around the well-being of our minds and how we use products.
It has a very like Cate Blanchett at the end of Indiana Jones 4 kind of vibe, where she tries to get all the info from the aliens and her mind just gets like
explodes,
overloaded. Yeah. That's what it's like. And I think, honestly, from a user experience perspective, things would immediately improve under
the only issue that I think this poses, and maybe it doesn't if you live in these states, considering what it is.
But yeah, that's, you can't, I don't know the specifics of these laws either.
Right. But to me, the only issue that it could lead to a little more bullying or a little more.
Because you have to be who you are.
Like,
you can't be like in the closet.
Not even that. It's more like, hey, do you have a Tumblr? You have an Instagram? What's your Insta? Oh, you don't have one? Ha ha ha. Like, it might lead people to be proactively saying that, bad things about you because you're not on Instagram.
That I don't care about as much.
I don't care either, but I'm just saying that opens the door to then like let the gateway begin.
The thing, I'm looking at like Arkansas and Utah here as just the names of the states and thinking like, you know, there's a high probability that there's probably some like weird thing about the registration that might not be good. Like that, if I was like looking further into these laws, that would be something that I would look into here to make sure that you don't have to like, you know, say your gender to use social media, and then like later they can like use that to like stop you from doing XYZ. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, whatever, like stuff like that. I'm not for that, but like, do I think that you should like, there should be more like restrictions and licenses around using specific like high traffic, highly public elements of the internet? I really, really do, in a weird way. And it is nothing to do with anything anti-free speech. Mm-hmm. If anything, I'm very pro-free speech, but I think because I am pro-free speech, I think that it's very important to draw a distinction between what social media is, which is like algorithm-driven popularity contest, social interaction, versus communicating on the internet, which is just uploading your thoughts freely to a website,
yeah,
publicly or privately, I mean, at your own choice.
Look, I'm 35, and whenever I tweet something, I have a mental breakdown, because in my mind, I'm like, I want to tweet today that video games are good.
Yeah.
I do that. And it's like,
somebody's going to come tell you some
stupid bullshit. Someone's going to be like, geez, I wish you would say video games were bad. You're like in the pocket of big Nintendo or whatever it is. And it's like, man, I'll just shut the fuck up and eat my humble pie then. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
You know, like people like social media has become such a
would you do that to a stranger? Like, would you say something like that to a stranger like that?
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
No. And if I was in person, someone was like, I like video games, I'd be like, yeah, I do too. Like, you're more likely to engage in a positive interaction as long as someone's not being a fucking bigot or an asshole in front of you. You're more likely to join in on the sociability of
Of going directly to somebody in the public eye just to like gripe to them is such a weird behavior that is like totally recontextualized online in a way where you don't have to connect the human interaction to it as much.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's not good. It's not good that you are powerless. Like, I'm kind of famous for like being kind of scary to people online, you know? And like, that's the only alternative to reading it. Like, the only thing you can do is like be mean back, kind of like not be mean back, but you have to like be aggressive back. You have to like engage and like play on their level to like communicate to them that you don't like that.
Which honestly, sometimes you can't, because like people watch that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole thing, and it's a bad dynamic, but some of it you can't control, some of it you can. And I think we should be thinking about the control a little bit more better, a little smartly.
Yeah.
You know, like look at the fucking thing with the cookies. Okay. Like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but like when you log on to a website now, usually there'll be an alert.
Cookies.
Yeah. You can go in and see what cookies are installing in your browser and stuff like that. And those, the language on those and the way that those little things manipulate you into doing something different than what you want is so insidious. And they're like less insidious in Britain and the EU. Like when you're online there, it's like more clear. And to me, like just looking at that difference makes it very clear to me that there's a lot that you can do with internet like design that will just make people's lives better. That's not like 100% synonymous with like, you know, the way that like the Chinese government controls their internet in general. I don't think that having a license to be on social media is the same as somebody coming to your house if you write about the wrong thing online. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's my last thought on that. Should more states have this if it's not infringing on people's rights in some other insidious way? Absolutely. Next one. Carlos Marx says, Shaq getting served for promoting the fake FTX cryptocurrency. Honestly, more hilarious than anything. Also, the fact that they called the people in charge of FTX geniuses at public relations when they were complete goobers who just had media and techies eating up their every word is just crazy. And I just wanted to take you and show you this because this is a great article. They've been trying to serve Shaq for a long time, and he finally got served on Monday, I think. And they have video of it on his home security and all this stuff. But the quote from Shaq is so good. You want to read that?
A lot of people think I'm involved, but I was just a paid spokesperson for a commercial. The basketball champion told CNBC in December.
Yeah. So they're like bothering Shaq because he got involved in this. Moskowitz called FTX a massive Ponzi scheme run by geniuses at public relations and marketing. Really, all it is crypto is an embarrassing thing that rich people made that's literally just a mistake that they should have put back in the bottle because it's not real.
I don't want to dwell on this too much just because this could be its own podcast, but I think, look, rich people are going to spend dumb money on dumb things. That is just the true nature of it.
Don't get involved in rich people.
Yeah. Like, stuff. Like, look, it was fun. And I know some of you guys out there did benefit from the short selling of GameStop and AMC. That's all fun.
If I got $10 million of disposable money in my life, I could see myself throwing $250,000 into crypto to see if maybe I get $16 million.
Right. But it's just like stocks or gambling or betting. You don't know what it is, what the worth is. Yeah. And it's one of those things where into the trash can, expect nothing in return.
Yeah. NFTs, all this stuff. Same thing.
Yeah. Look, it's a shitty thing.
Ape's gone.
Like we're going to hopefully, look, the true nature of all of this, the true problem is that the American government does not have legislation.
It's or like a made up place. Yeah, it's like a new imaginary made up thing. Is. Yeah.
And by the time they figure out how to put any kind of federal or state regulation that makes sense for anyone to safely consume or use their products across the board,
it's going
to
be gone.
It's going to be gone, and or it won't be the same thing. Yeah. And there will be people out there who lobby to change. It's not NFTs. It's not crypto. It's something else, even though it's the same. It's evolved. It's different. Just to me, it's don't watch the car crash anymore.
Yeah,
go outside. Go play. Go. You know what? Grab your Switch. Go to the pool.
You know what's good? Buy some land.
You know what's sick?
Yeah.
You know what's sick? Go into a jacuzzi, play Mario Kart 8 Deluxe on your Switch with your Joy-Cons outside.
Hell yeah.
And just play some sick ass tunes.
You don't even have to hold your hands up, bro.
Yeah.
That's the beauty.
You just chill.
Yeah. You know what you can do? You can just start a small business.
What?
If you got $20,000 to put into fucking crypto.
Sure.
Just start a small business. Like that's at least.
Tell you what, if you got $20,000 that you want to spend in crypto, What if I told you about the Beer Bros? Just give it to us.
Yeah.
We will make more stuff.
Yeah. Then you know what?
You might not make anything, but at least we're honest with us scamming you.
I will use it exactly how I say I'm going to use it.
Yes.
Yeah.
We will say we're going to buy something stupid and do said thing.
Yes.
We will fulfill the promise.
Yeah. That's the news. Speaking of something stupid, though, this next segment is called 420.gif.
Is there a theme song for this one?
GIF.
GIF, 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 GIF.
Grift.
Shift, grift.
No, that's just, I called it 420.gif because Ted yells the name of every segment at the beginning of the show when he does the intro.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. So I want him to say 420.gif. So that's
dot goofy.
Almost dot goofy. Goof. So the question that I asked of our fine patrons this week was, it's 420. What's your favorite euphemism for weed? Or what's a hilarious one you've heard someone say? And more importantly, do you have a game for when you're stoned on the devil's lettuce? Why that game? Answer as thoroughly as you can. So before we get into the patron answers, I want to just put this question to you guys. What's your favorite, like, stupid name for weed? What do you say? Hey, are you doing the...
I don't know enough.
Are you snapping
I don't know
up
enough
the,
of them.
You snapping up the...
I feel like when I was in college, I knew all of them. Now I don't care as much.
Okay.
Which is ironic because I didn't smoke or did edibles. Now I do.
But let's be real. You're not like a big weed culture guy.
No,
High Times Magazine's not doing an interview on you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not like... I'm definitely not promoting my own weed label for you guys at home.
Dude, but I would promote Jim Belushi's if he contacts me.
Jim, come on, Jim Belushi. Come on, Jimmy.
Hit me up, Jim. I love Thief. Love your movie Thief. What about you, Ted?
I definitely like That Good Good.
That Good Good? I like that.
That Good Good?
I like that.
It's so dumb, it's good.
That Good Good?
I can tell that you would like that. That's something you would like.
Can I make a new one?
Yeah. That's very much in the spirit of this.
You know what I'm going to do it?
Huh?
I'm going to take a bark of that mana tree.
Take a bark of the mana tree?
Hell yeah, hey, dude.
If you were like, this is the bark of a mana tree and you handed me like some nugs, I would be like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my gamer secret of mana gamer weed.
My friend all through high school had some older sisters and they were like just a lot older than us. And so their thing that they would say, because sometimes they wanted to like you know, they had a lot of family time, so they want to invite each other to go smoke weed, but like maybe their parents are in the room. And I think they thought that they were getting away with this, but like,
yeah, you said there was a term they would use. Yeah, right?
years later, their parents were like,
"We knew."
Yeah, what are you talking about?
What was
about?
The term?
They said, "Hey, you know what? I'm feeling pretty bongry right now."
Bongry, that's the one.
I'm feeling pretty bongry right
which
now.
Which, if you think about bongry, it's just bong and hungry together. It's not the most. Like,
I get it. I get where they were going.
I don't.
I get where they were going, but I'm pretty bongry right now. And then we Kelly and I have our own one that we do that is like our parents are aware of our lifestyle by now, but just for the bit, we always ask each other if we want to go smash Joey's nuts.
I've heard this one before. Smash Joey's nuts.
Yeah, I don't know why, but Joey's nuts are getting smashed. You know, that's some good soup. But as far as a game, what's your veg out game though?
Diablo 2.
Oh, that's a great one.
Just because I'm always playing it. I'll never complete the newest version of Diablo 2 Resurrected. So I'm always just like, might as well grind infinitely for fucking Stone Ring of Jordans or whatever.
Yeah. Right now for me, Final Fantasy 12 at 4x speed is pretty good. Because you like program your guys in that game pretty much. So I don't know if you've ever played it. I mean, I know you played the shit out of it.
I played the shit out of it.
I know
it,
Ted
bro.
Loves that game too, but like if you haven't played Final Fantasy 12, which I believe to be kind of like a less popular one these days, you kind of like program your party members and then you just kind of like run around and they like take action on their own. And then
called the Gambit system.
Yeah. And then the version, the Zodiac Age. From a couple years ago that they rolled out, like, lets you speed the game up. So now you're grinding, you're like shooting up in level. It feels very, I was just talking about this yesterday, like very like
circles.
Yeah, what do you call that? Bubble wrap. Yeah, that stuff. It has like that type of vibe where you just like walk around and you're like, and you guys like do it and then they like heal automatically. Just feels really good. Anything like that. Like a Musou game is another great one. Like Gran Turismo 2 is another great one. Just like a game with like a million challenges is great. Like Armored Core, or like the challenge mode in Mario U is really hard and good and just infinitely tryable. Meat Boy, stuff like that. You know, Meat Boy's a great one. Celeste, anything where you can like.
Where was that game we played at your house a couple weeks ago on Game Pass where I was like fucking crushing it?
Fuck yes, that game rules. Disc Room.
That shit was
that
tight.
Game is that's a perfect example of what I'm talking
about.
That
shit was tight.
Just really easy to start over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The game rules. And the music in that game fucks extremely. What about you, Ted? What's a game?
Fantavision.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? Perfect. Very sensory. Very like psychedelic. Like very imagination forward.
You kind of have to focus a little hard, but.
Yeah.
It might work.
It's satisfying.
Yeah.
No, I think focusing is good. Like, I think people think that getting high makes you like dumb. That's really not accurate. I think you know, like it.
Like you can get in the zone.
Yeah, exactly. It definitely changes how you think, but it's not like people. I can always tell when somebody hasn't smoked weed before because they like act like they know what they're talking about, but they'll be like, nah, man, I like to be myself, you know, like. I'm like, no, you like you're yourself.
There's so many people like that in my life currently that I think is so funny.
Yeah. It's like, it's fine. You don't have to smoke weed. I don't judge you for not smoking weed. It's not like that.
But Alex, can we smoke weed later though?
Yeah, it's very it's very bags of sand vibes. You know, just it's okay. Weed is not cool.
When you say, can I just interpret it? When you say
bags
of sand,
yeah.
If it's a reference I'm thinking of. It's Steve Carell describing what it's like to grab a woman's tit 100%. In the 40-year-old virgin.
Everybody knows.
Everyone knows exactly what that means.
Everybody knows he's never done
it. He's never touched a bag of sand before.
But they're just being nice to him because they don't want to hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
because spoiler alert, grabbing a boob is not like grabbing a bag of sand.
Yeah. That's what that joke means in that movie, guys. but just don't lie about not smoking weed. Be
truth.
Proud. It's okay.
It's legal now. It's not as passe as it was a few years ago.
I have no expectation that anybody needs to smoke weed. I could care less if you smoke
like the
weed.
Bullying aspect of weed has gone away so much because you can just buy it now.
It's not like cool to smoke it. Like, and if your dad who like lives by himself in Florida and he has like one leg and he just like smokes weed all day and he's like a hella Republican and he's like super Christian and he's like smoking weed. Like, there's no coolness left with weed. It's just a tight thing. It's like beer. Like, we all drink beer.
Did everyone incarcerated for weed possession get released?
Not yet. No.
In a just world, Ted.
I think more and more we're hearing more stories of people being released, but like it's too little, too late, and or not enough. So
a lot have been released, but boy, is that like a great like central thing in the middle of like keeping people of different races in the penal system, you know what I mean? Like in the criminal justice system. It's terrible. Let everybody out of weed jail. That's stupid. Next, first one comes from TK. He says, I always get a chuckle out of electric jazz lettuce. Never heard that one. Feels like a lot of them mixed together. I've heard jazz grass. I say jazz grass all the time because I think that's hilarious. But yeah. Mini motorways is one of my, it makes me think of Marvin Berry. Mini Motorways is one of my favorite go-to games. It's a strategy sim game in which you draw out the roadways of a growing city.
I almost said that.
It's a great, like
I did a brand new for this last year.
It's a great, like, dynamic sound game. The soundscapes it makes with its FX is really pleasant. Yep, see, he's got it. The gameplay is pretty simple, essentially collecting dots and mitigating traffic with road features. It has something like 20 different real-world cities levels, all with challenge modes, so it plays to the completionist in me as
TK,
well.
TK, I'm going to sue you because you can't use the word completionist without telling
our
me.
Our hands are tied. We have to.
I'm sorry.
We have to.
I'll see you're you done. In jail.
Yeah, we'll see you're you done. In jail. You know we'll be what? There too.
Ted, serve him.
Yeah.
I'm going to serve you.
Ted. Serve him.
Ted, dress like a power company man and go to their house.
I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Say TK.
I'm coming.
Say TK.
I'm coming.
Chosen one.
Don't come.
This is Zeros?
Yeah, sure.
Or I'm sure it's like X zero.
Zeros. Zeros.
The euphemism we used in our younger days was going to the country estate. It started when we were used to go with our group, our friend's block of land in the bush. We go camping. Then it just became the general term of sneaking off for a J. As for games, now that I'm older, I don't really get high. I'm just centered and focused on focused. So my two big games are Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
And Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
I can put my headphones on and just get lost in the world, maybe do a mission if I found one, but otherwise just explore and enjoy the world.
Open world games are...
they're perfect for that kind of stuff.
Pretty indistinguishable.
High, non-high, it's a great time.
Yeah, like, I would say, how about this? First of all, going to the country estate, 10 out of 10. Love that. We used to say, let's go to the stoop, because there was literally a stoop.
Let's go to the stoop.
Because there was literally a stoop that we used to go to. But... I'll say this. This is my like hot take games journalism, games criticism take. Open world games on modern consoles are about as good and immersive as going to a city that you're not from, that you're only visiting for a brief time.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of doors don't open in those games, like Cyberpunk and Red Dead. Like, a lot of houses are just like houses that you can't go inside. Yeah. But like in real life, when you go to like Paris or London or a city in another country, right? You're not walking into every house. You're not like going, you're maybe buying like food at one or two places. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we're there. And I think that doing that when you're like on drugs or in the zone or at the country estate is like a great, great mindset just to like go for a walk in another city. How about that? Yeah. Maybe do a mission if I found one, but otherwise just explore and enjoy the world. Could not agree with it more. Next one comes from Axed, who says, I really like the word ganja, mostly because it sounds funny. I think there are some phonetic stuff going on with the G and the J sound that make it amusing. I like that little analysis there. Growing up in South London, it was often referred to as food, which is also quite humorous. I love that. Want to go get some food? Oh yeah.
This sounds very generic.
It's great. It's like a much more successful version of Bongri.
Yes. Yeah. Because it doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah. I don't really partake anymore, but in my younger days, the best video game to play while stoned was Sonic and Sega All-Star Racing. The Samba de Amigo level was particularly cool while high due to the music and colors. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is not that old of a game.
No.
Like what? 10 years old max?
All-Star Racing?
Yeah.
I think it was a launch title for the Wii U around that time. So yeah, it'd have to be around like 2011, 2012, something like that.
Yeah. So that's, you know what? Solid pick. That game, real talk, doesn't have any business being as good as it is, especially for such a flawed premise as let's put the fast hedgehog into a car.
Yeah.
That's a weird premise, but you know what? Good on him for like coming to the level of Mario Kart and being there for real. Love that. That's it. That's it for the weed thing. Everybody happy we did it? 420. We did the weed thing. We respected it.
Weed.
Hell yeah. Weed is tight. Let's move on to our next section, which is called More Gerard Questions.
Oh, yeah.
If you remember an episode 15 when Gerard was here last two episodes ago,
yeah,
I put out the call for more questions that you wish that people asked Gerard because I was left a little bit discouraged by the sort of softballs that you guys were throwing Gerard.
Oh, no. Are there some hard ones in here now?
No, it's not like that. It's just like I wanted you to have questions that you could like chew on and actually like
talk.
You know like when somebody's on Hot Ones and they're like, wow, that's a great question. You know what I mean? Weren't that many questions like that last time. I'm not saying there weren't any. I'm just saying now that I like roasted everybody a little bit, we got the meats. First question. I'm going to ask you all these questions, by the way, because it'd be weird to read your own questions.
Sure.
First question comes from Zach Vidrodi, who says, simple one, how are you?
Well, I was born January 3rd, 1988.
Okay.
No.
Okay, weird start.
I'm fine. It's been a weird few months just with the G4 stuff, the way the internet has just tried to treated me as a person. I never had a plan to like get out of this, you know, like we've talked get about for years, like talked about how
Ultimo
like,
Hombre,
what
the Ultimo Hombre,
yeah,
the last man. Yeah.
We've talked a lot many times. How do we make the business not rely on YouTube and social media so much? This is the first year where I've just said, I think if I left, no one would miss me.
I've been the warrior of getting off of the algorithm.
I just mean like, I might just go get a job elsewhere and not be a social media guy anymore and influencer. And like the whole point of me starting the business was to make stuff whatever I want. And now I can't make anything without like being criticized or like hit pieces or other content creators coming for me. And it's like, all I want to do is make things. I don't want to have a debate and or fight about things that I don't actually give a shit about outside of what I'm making.
Yeah, there used to just not be comments sections on everything when you put out art. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and now it just...
used to just put it out and then people would like watch it and talk about you in their own world instead of on your fucking porch.
Yeah, today the internet is roasting me because I have Twitter blue. My Twitter section has been destroyed, because today is the day they announced that Twitter verification checks are going away. So they got rid of all of them, quote unquote. And so now those who still have them are like being roasted and, you know, so glad that people are mad that I've been paying for a service for many years that I actually like to use, but like, don't like Elon Musk or what he's doing with the platform. But
is like, that not enough for you?
It's just weird.
Is that not enough for you?
Zach, that's how I'm feeling. I didn't answer your question.
You know what? Put a picture of Sonic smoking a blunt on the screen just for a second.
The one made by the official artist, Thomas Paine.
Yeah, just throw a picture of him up on the screen.
That's me.
Yeah, there I'm you go. Him. There you go. Get
Thank
real.
You, Zach, for the question.
How are you? Ozzy asks, what games are scratching the itch lately? And did you miss YouTube, Twitch, or Patreon most, like Masterbeard Theater and stuff, not the money from Patreon? First of all, we never stopped getting money from Patreon.
Yeah.
Like we kept that shit rolling. We're a business.
Yeah.
But which one did you miss the most and what projects are you most excited to see come to fruition in the near future that you know of?
I mean, games that are scratching the itch lately have definitely been things like Diablo 2 Resurrected.
Great video game. I haven't played Resurrected, but I imagine it fucks just as hard as Diablo 2 does.
I've been playing all the Shovel Knight games just because I'm about to release New Game Plus on Shovel Knight, but also like
those Shovel Knight Showdown. 10 out of 10 games.
Fucking Puzzle, Pocket Dungeon, fucking Dig is getting better with each update.
Dig is beautiful.
God. Yeah, so I'm just in my own little, and of course, like my randomizers of Metroid, Zelda, Crossing, respectively by themselves. Yeah, I'm just playing a lot of roguelikes. That's kind of my jam. It's kind of like my Rubik's Cube. As far as if I missed YouTube, Twitch, or Patreon the most, I missed none of them because I didn't stop doing any of them. Whether you were on my personal Patreon or my Twitch or YouTube page or here on Beard Bros. I wasn't on the Beard Bros Patreon as much, obviously, but
let's put it this way. Shooting the stuff is what a minority of the employees here do.
Yeah.
Shooting the actual content is like the least people here do that of anything.
Yeah.
So just think about that.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the projects I'm excited to see come to fruition, New Game Plus is done, so I'm very excited for that. We have
the What more. Next is a big, it's exciting.
Yeah, the What Next is exciting. And also just like, I'm just, you know, I've grown up a lot in the last 12 years. I've just been trying to find myself. And I think I'm more excited for that than anything. Just trying to find who I am and what I'm doing. Because, you know, they always say that like you'll when you grow up, you'll find your identity. But I still feel like I still haven't found mine, even though I am the completionist. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Just an ongoing battle. Thank you for the question, Ozzy.
Yeah, good question.
Hopefully I answered it.
Good question. Okay, I'm gonna follow up on his question. Just one more thing.
Sure.
As far as games scratching the itch, what's the game that nobody's ever asked you to play? What's the game like? What's the game that you just like throw on that's not has nothing to do with your legend?
Final Fantasy 14 Online.
Yes,
that's the game I probably. I don't play it enough, but I used to play it a lot.
It's here's the thing. You know why I'm like more excited for Final Fantasy 16 than Tears of the Kingdom.
Yoshi P is a genius.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't even play Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
I just read about it and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What a smart man. Next question comes from Joe Zapp, who says, I loved your Shovel Knight commercial. And I know you mentioned how special God of War was for you. If you were able to do more things like that, where would you want to take it? Would you stay to one IP or do more variety? Also, on a similar subject, if you could be in a live-action video game movie, which character do you think you'd be able to play best? And is that the character you'd even want to play? What I mean is, just because you fit or could play a character well doesn't mean that's the part you want to play.
Those are great questions. As far as more things like God of War and the Shovel Knight commercial, yeah, I would love to produce those. In fact, if I had the dream job would be to produce those things all the time. That's where I would love to sit.
Like what's one of those?
I would love to, let's see here. Would love to do a proper live action film of Max Payne. That's been one of my favorites.
Dude, Max Payne 3 is like so good.
Well, Max Payne doesn't need to be a video game movie. It just needs to be a movie. And I think that's the thing that is the common misconception about video game adaptations is we don't need to make the video game feel like it's a movie. We just need to make a good movie that happens to be about a video game. Very similar to The Last of Us, right? The Last of Us doesn't have a video game feel to it. Yeah. It's just The Last of Us.
It doesn't have to be video gamey. It just has to be correct about what the video game is.
Right.
It just needs to understand the video game that it's adapting and then do a good job of adapting it in some way.
Yeah, and the Max Payne movie, I'd say, got half of that, right? The other half, not so much. As far as parts I'd like to play, parts that I'm good for, parts that I think I would do well in, I'd love to be shredded as fuck and play an older Kratos. I think I could actually do it if I really put in the effort. I would just need to gain a bunch of weight or gain a bunch of good weight.
You'd have to just be shred. You'd have to do like a marble.
I got
to
get shredded. Yeah. Which I would love. Hey, if you know one out there who wants to shred me away. I'm
shred
ready.
Shred me, dude. No, shred me.
As far as like thing I'd love to play, like thing would be really sick for, despite if I'm ready for it. I really want to do a live action Final Fantasy VI movie. I would love to do.
Final Fantasy VI is such a weird ass. Like, I think people just kind of assume what Final Fantasy VI is if they haven't played it. You should really play that game if you haven't.
It's amazing.
It's fucking weird.
You know, it's phenomenal.
It is a 10 out of 10. It is like everybody sees all those weird drawings mm-hmm. that Amano did before Tetsuya Nomura took over Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
And you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy VI actually looks and feels like that. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a tight game and it goes other places than you would expect. Like, if you think it's like not as smart and cool as Chrono Trigger, you are wrong. Or Earthbound, you are wrong.
It's pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
I'd like to play Sabin or Sabin, as some people like to go by.
Sabin.
Yeah.
Saboing. I call him Saboing.
Sabon.
If I could play any character in a game, who would I get cast as? That dude from that game that's like in big trouble with its publisher.
Yeah.
What the fuck is it called? Where they're it's like political, it's extremely political RPG that everybody's trying to get me to play. I have to do it for Beard Bowl or for F it Beard Bros.
Disco Elysium?
Yeah, Disco Elysium. Yeah, that game is that's who I would get cast as. But who do I want to play? Fucking Solid Snake. I want to be fucking in Metal Gear Solid somewhere. I want to be like Otacon or Ocelot.
Metal Gear.
I don't really want to be Solid Snake. I don't think that's my vibe. But I would love to be.
You could play a young general.
Yeah, like I would love to be like Snake, one of those
there
guys.
There is a bomb in the building.
Yeah, like, hey, later I'm gonna be like one of the like key components of the entire government conspiracy. But right now I'm just your medic. Like I want to be like one of those guys. I could do that. Call me King Kong guy. What's that guy's name? Vote Roberts. Let me be in your Metal Gear movie.
Sure.
Let me be in it. I'm smart. I could do it. I promise. All right. That was a good question. That was solid. Next one comes from Mega Monization, who says, let's say in the future, humans will reach a point where consciousness can completely be uploaded to a cloud and we can live separately from our bodies. So like Soma vibes.
Sure.
Would programming new humans instead of sexual reproduction be an ethical next step in evolution? And would the step be more significant than from cell division to sexual reproduction?
So what's the question?
So first question is, you're in the reality already of Soma.
Yeah.
Where you can just come out of your body and you're a consciousness that can exist digitally, right?
Yeah.
So if you can just, if humans can be digital information.
Would I?
No, like if they can be already, if it can happen.
Yeah.
Is the next step, instead of dirty old sex, old, boring, old fashioned, biological, disgusting sex, instead of that, if you could just log into your partner and program a child together in digital space, that's like a file that's made of both of you.
Oh, be the ethical.
Is that the next step of procreation? Is that the next way to create new life? And would that
I feel like that's already kind of happening right now with the research they're doing. You can kind of program all the bad genes out of a kid should you choose to spend the money and go through those chambers of craziness if you're in that level. I don't think it's an evolution. I think, like, honestly, just to take a step back, and let me ask you a question, Alex. I don't know how I would do this.
Very identity.
If you could upload your brain to the cloud / thing, if you will,
right?
Would you do it?
No.
I also would not do it. Mostly because, look, I am a fucked up human being. Imagine if my brain becomes a virus. You know what I mean? Like, I would take down whole civilizations.
I just have
if you pissed me off. And I would evolve and destroy.
I just have no interest.
I'd be the villain.
I have no interest in that. Like, if you told me it was magic, I would like be more interested, but mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of changing my mortal state that much. Like, I really don't like love that. I'm very much of this earth. I'm planning on dying eventually. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like end my own life. I'm just saying like my worldview involves me dying. So I'm not so worried about it that I need to like go inside a computer to feel good. I do believe that there's nothing stopping us from doing this. I don't think that people shouldn't do this if they want to do this. I think it's very interesting stuff. I think it's very psychedelic. in a way to do it. But I don't know. Like, would you like in this is how they do it on Krypton. You know, it's still biological on Krypton, mm-hmm. but their reproduction is so it's like pandas where they have to like be careful about who breeds and stuff because it's like really it doesn't work a lot of the time. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think there's a huge group of people that are just like anti-sexual, not just asexual people, but like people who culturally are sort of like anti-depictions of sex and like kind of don't want sex to be part of their human identity. I get it. I get maybe why somebody would want that. I don't really agree with it. I think sex is great. I don't think we should replace sex. I think it's pretty good. I think it works great. I think it's really fun. I think that, you know, more options is good. Mac and PC and also digital human being. It's all good. Matrix Revolutions. Let's do it. I love it.
Sure.
Next question comes from Mary McCormick, who says, Gerard, it's so awesome how you saved all those games from the Wii U and 3DS shops. I'm curious, though, would you still have access to the systems if you wanted to complete one of those eShop games for the show? Or, in preserving them for the gaming community, did you lose access to them until they get re-released? Either way, it was a boss move, and I'm glad you've been getting recognition for it.
Well, thank you, Mary. To kind of go back into that, I am holding on to the consoles at least for a couple more months before I send them to the Video Game History Foundation, just because we're not quite, like, the hard drives and all of the files and the games that we downloaded, it's not quite, like, organized properly. Like, I want to be able to do them by, like, letter and name and size and
good
console.
Good luck, dude.
Yeah. It's just going to take a while, if you will. But outside of that, I'm not too concerned. There's nothing really exclusive on either 3DS or Wii U that
there's like almost a few games that are like probably worth playing, but it's not like worth doing an SEO-able episode about. 98%
of the games that are on the Wii U and 3DS are games that I would not want to check out. The 2% that are there are games that I've already done or are games that like got ported or of that nature. So
also, like, let's be real. Some other ways to play these games.
I'm not going to comment on that.
I'm just saying, like, you don't need to, if you're for archival purposes trying to look what a game is, you don't also need to have.
I'm like the one guy who has the actual receipts.
Yeah. That, you're the one who can actually back it up.
Yeah.
But like,
if
real
someone's
talk,
like, you don't own this, I'm like, actually, I do.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, getting them off a drive that you did when you bought every game on the shop is not like the way that you should have to like have access to these games. I just want to play Shin Megami Tensei 4.
Yeah.
In 2023. How do I do it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah. So wait, so did you lose access to them? Until
no,
they
I
get
still
re-released?
Have them.
You can
I,
still
I,
play
I
the
can
games.
Still play the games. I have them. I have not given them to the VGHF yet, but I will someday.
Yeah. I can see them. Right there.
Yeah, we just did a Preserve Play this past weekend.
They're right over there on the set. Look at that.
Yeah, literally we could bust out and play anything you want.
Woo! Okay, now we're moving from patrons into the YouTube comments. Just
oh,
like I
boy.
Said.
Okay.
So this is Adult Swim now. You ready?
Sure, sure.
This is from Need I Say More. None of you will remember these references, but anyway, I genuinely loved all of G4 and everything and everyone involved.
Thank you, Need I Say More.
But for myself, as an Omega Sentinel that also started watching wrestling again when AEW popped up, which is what I think Brett said last time, I have a question. What did you learn the most from anyone or anything at G4? Was it from a person or from the experience? And bonus uncomfortable question, Sessler or Pereira?
Oh, man. What did I learn the most from anyone or anything? As far as anything, this is what I learned the most. And it's the lesson that I still learn every day when I wake up. It's that no matter what you do.
Brush your teeth.
No. No matter what you do, you will always be the villain, regardless if you're doing the right thing or not. In an organization like that company, I was an executive. I tried my best to do the right thing, what I thought was the right thing for so many folks and so many people. And I made a lot of enemies in the final days of G4.
You made like Fall of Rome style enemies, though.
I mean, there were people who were mad at me for things that weren't true and people who tried to slander me. I was even reported to HR, like an HR complaint was made against me. Sorry, I'm like stuck. I'm like trapped right now. Thank you, Alex.
There we go.
So I think,
what he means by trapped is not in legal red tape, but in
I had a microphone cord around my feet. I learned a lot of really hard truths in that, like, no matter what I would do to be the good guy, I would not be the good guy. And that's something that is a lesson that I continually have been learning since then. And honestly, before then too,
you gotta be a bastard.
Yeah. I mean, look, people were mad at me because of Greg. People were mad at me because of John Trump. People were mad at me because of the stuff with Jared. Like, people will always be mad at me. They will always hate me.
Let them fight.
But the thing is that I have to assume, or rather I have to respect my own people, my audience, that if you guys didn't like me or didn't watch me, that like you guys would know immediately who I am as a person. Like, I'd like to think that if you guys heard a story or like read something online, or
you mean like if they met you, that's the guy that you
right.
expect.
I'm the same person, right? Like the completionist is not a character.
I feel like that's the TOVG brand is that.
Right. We are just who we are when we say what we do. Yes, we have fun and do sketches and bits, and we sometimes put on characters and voices, but like I would like to think that you, my audience on both B-Bros and Completionist, I respect you and think you are smart enough to trust and respect me, and that I wouldn't do anything gross or mean or nefarious. And that we have to remember that as people before the internet, there is such a thing as genuine disagreements.
That's normal.
And yeah. Like, well, you know, I know because of how society is nowadays and everyone's personal experiences, you hear a lot of terms like gaslighting and manipulation and things of that nature. And it's like, yes, those are all real things that people do to get what they want against others. But I feel like before that, to a degree, like sometimes gaslighting and manipulation isn't the thing. It's just genuine disagreement, genuine communication
issues.
That's
how you like reach understanding, is by like talking through differing opinions.
Right.
That's like, I literally, my pinned tweet, if you look at it, it's like me telling you like, hey, if I like write a bunch of stuff, it's not like because I'm having like a mental breakdown and sure. I'm like posting my like notes app, like confession.
Yeah.
I'm just like writing what I think down. It's so crazy to think that means we're fighting.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest lesson, is that not everyone will like me is the TLDR. And that is something I struggle with a lot because I have codependency issues.
Yeah. You have to have your own little drum beat to follow, or else you're going to go crazy. Yeah.
So I think that's the thing I learned. The bad lesson, I would say, or rather the harder lesson came from that.
That's a great lesson to learn in your like 30s. That's like the lesson of the 30s that you learn. That's not just a like famous person lesson either. Yeah. That's a everybody who has to work with anyone lesson.
Yeah. As far as lessons I learned from anyone, the person I learned from the most at my time at G4, there's like on camera talent that I learned stuff from, and then there's like behind the scenes people. The person I learned the most from behind the scenes was my boss's boss / person I reported to quite often. His name is Brian Terwilliger.
Sideshow Bob.
No. He used to work at the original G4 back in the day as a producer / intern. And then he went to the WWE, worked there many, many years. He got fired during the Black Wednesday firing. He went from WWE to G4 to WWE to G4.
Dude, what
a fucking... That's his path.
That's like that's what you did, but in your imagination.
Right.
Every day.
Yeah. And so meeting him and getting to know him and like seeing his expertise and how he present himself and how he handled things. He was a guy that like was always under fire.
Taught you
like,
how to be a pro.
Yeah. And I learned a lot from him, from what he would instill on me. And I learned a lot
leading
from
by example.
Yeah. And then he would, you know, I'd also learn from observing and just like seeing how he would handle things. And I would see a lot of like, you know, I would see one side of people saying he's a bad guy and it's the other side saying he's a good guy. And not that like it was a disparaging.
There's no rating. Answer. There's no answer.
Yeah. Right. The true answer is that no one is all good and or bad. It's just people have experiences.
People are going to agree with you or not. Yeah.
Right. And that kind of fluidity of communication is what gets lost. And so I learned a lot from him and someone I just have enormous amount of respect for him. He taught me a lot.
Shout outs to you, Terwilliger.
Yeah. As far as like on camera personality, I learned a lot from Austin Creed.
Xavier Dude, Woods. I mean, that guy.
No, he's a legend.
How do I describe it? People don't deserve the amount of investment that guy gives to everything he does. Ever.
Yeah.
That guy is one of those guys who just like, I've only met him three or four times.
If I could say anything, if I was a wrestler, I would be him.
Yeah.
Like that is someone that I see myself in every day, in every match, in every promo, how he talks to people, how he talks to fans, how he talks to.
He's a true champ.
He, no one is too big or too small. He loves, trusts, and respects everyone. He loves everything that he does. And it doesn't matter if you're the janitor who was cleaning out the bathroom or if you're the CEO of the company. He got to know and love everyone, and like it was so infectious to be around him. He just always elevated everyone. And
you know who he reminds me of is like Pam. Same like
Pam Horton?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Same like just always a champion vibe all the time.
Yeah. You just those kinds of people who are just always full of
Lisa Foyles, another one who just
positivity and professionalism.
Elspeth. Yeah.
They bring this level of polishness and kindness that I just admire so much.
Yeah. Like 90s celebrities today, pros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bonus uncomfortable question, Cecilia or Pereira? I don't think this is uncomfortable.
Don't be silly. I'm Cecilia, you're Pereira. It's obvious.
I don't think it's uncomfortable because I didn't spend the true answer is that I'm a Pereira guy. And it's not because I don't like Adam Cecilia or that I had a problem with him.
Just didn't see him.
I worked with Adam Cecilia no more than 10 times. Like I had more meetings with him and more conversations about the games industry off camera, like getting to know him off camera. Wonderful human being, was great to talk to, great to work
great
with.
Taste, impeccable taste.
If he called me to do a podcast today to talk about stuff, I would love to. He's a genuinely, I know people have their opinions on Twitter of who he is as a person, not the same person
that's
on social media.
Cesar doesn't know how to use Twitter. That's,
well,
that's
all I agree with that as well. But Pereira is someone who I felt like was in the trenches.
He's
with
still
us.
Very much in the game, Kevin Pereira.
Yes, he, if you talk to him, he's like, I'm out. But when you're in the room, he's in.
His life is in. He's not trying to end his career. He's still trucking.
He's
got that mindset.
He has a lot of wisdom and knowledge and trust and respect. And him and Kasim, they get along so well. But the reason why I get along with them so well and see the two of them get along so well and have a lot of respect for them is because Kasim and Pereira have been around for so long, but they really don't believe that they are the best. Like you look at them and you directly go, the two of you are the best.
Still
you know
in the
your
game.
Craft.
Yeah.
You know what to do. You know how to control the room. You know how to make people feel comfortable or uncomfortable, and how you decide to present that feeling to them is there.
Yeah.
But you see that, you know, those two guys, specifically Kasim and Pereira, they have this level of respect and love and trust that no one online can see.
It goes back to what you were saying before, actually, I think. And you can, you know, feel free to agree or disagree with me because you know them a lot better than me. But just from an outside perspective and kind of what you were saying, and it's because I kind of empathize with this situation a little bit, is like you say, I love the idea of people running into me and being like, oh my God, you're exactly how you seem like you are, right?
Yeah.
I aim for that.
Yeah.
Myself. I don't always land there. I feel like there is like the legend.
Sometimes you go in autopilot.
Well, there's the legend of Alex Fassiani, the cool guy, right? Like there's this other person that's not quite me. You know, Cecilia has this problem. Cecilia does not represent himself on media as the man that he is in private.
Right.
And Kevin Pereira does.
Yeah.
Kevin Pereira is the guy that you see on social media and on his show. And Cecilia he's like got a whole life going on outside of his like video game world that he does.
Yeah.
And I think that's
there's nothing wrong.
No, it's just two different ways of doing it. It's like look at somebody like, I'm trying to think of a good example, somebody who really embodies this. Like Hunter S. Thompson or somebody like that, or Ernest Hemingway.
Yeah.
Somebody like that where they struggle with this like image of them as this type of person.
Sure.
Sessler, like grumpy video game man who cares about art and politics, right? As if like he's like all day, every day gaming and thinking about those things. When really, he thinks about those things as much as anybody and is asked his opinion on video games from time to time and weighs in.
Yeah.
Whereas Pereira is in the games industry, head in the game. Same thing with Kasem. Like, Kasem, by all accounts, should be on his, like, round two of his career right now, in the way that Sessler is, but he's just head in the game. He's a pro. It's a different way of doing things. And Sessler really is at a different stage of his career than Pereira is.
With that said, I learned a lot from Pereira. Just his presence in the room, like he and Creed.
He's
like,
a legend.
We joked that like Creed and Pereira were like at each other's throats all the time. It could have been so far from the truth. The two of them were just always team leaders. It was always like, it was never like team one versus team two. It was like team A only.
Yeah. And there's just team G.
Team G. Team G4, which is now gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I think I'll land there.
Tommy B from YouTube writes, do you think that 500th game milestone will be hit in 2023?
At the rate we're going, I don't think so.
What are we at now?
We're at, I think we just hit 260.
260?
Or sorry, not 254.
Oh, so okay.
So either 450 or 460. I admittedly have slowed down tremendously just because
when because we do, shut up, that's why.
No, it's
because get
it's,
off our back, goddamn you.
We're just trying to figure out what the YouTube channel is with New Game Plus and with all the G4 stuff kind of finally coming and going. You know, we have to make very methodical decisions more often than not about what we're doing. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now.
I vibe with that. 2024.
I don't know if we'll get there.
2024.
The
2024.
I'd like to get there, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. Next question. Like that nice straightforward question.
Yeah.
Next question from Jamie Winwright. Great name for a gamer. What is your favorite wrestling game of all time? And bonus question, would you ever consider doing a top 10 wrestling games to complete video for The Completionist?
Probably not top 10 wrestling games to complete video.
That's like it's the same very game a bunch of times.
Yeah. It's just a niche thing. Like there's not enough good wrestling games out there to fit the 10.
And they're
in
all
a way.
The same that are good. Like they're all it's basically
like,
the
like,
same.
Yeah, it's like SmackDown 2006, SmackDown 2007, WrestleMania 2000, No Mercy, WCW versus NWO Revenge, WCW versus NWO Nitro, or whatever it is.
It's like, going to be the one that you have in your fucking box of N64 games that has your fucking name drawn on it. And whatever one that is, what is it for you? No Mercy?
No Mercy is probably my
black,
favorite one.
The
black cartridge with the Rock.
Yeah.
The Rock, Edge, and
that was your
the
time.
Hardys, I think.
That was the heart the of your time, art. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's my favorite. The SmackDown games are pretty good too, though. Yeah.
Is there a difference? They just are SmackDown? Like it's like an episode of the SmackDown?
No. It's just the branding.
Oh,
it's just like SmackDown became the premium branding for a while because The Rock. Because
the show was so popular. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a little wrestling recommendation for you guys. If you're sitting there and you're playing all these WWE games and the one that you liked the most recently was that weird chibi one that just came out a couple years ago. And you are yearning for more and you love wrestling and you want to go deeper. Fire Pro Wrestling.
Fire Pro Wrestling is amazing.
Like, it's not like every single one of them is good, but it's like one of those games, like the Kunio-kun games, where there's like a whole world there for you to like jump into, like a Metal Gear Solid or a Kingdom Hearts. Like, go get involved and go read and go play the crazy one that Suda51 wrote where the dude, it's like the wrestler.
Yeah.
Dude.
Fire Pro Wrestling, baby.
Nobody loves wrestling more than Suda51, and he doesn't even like American wrestling as much.
Yeah.
Get hype on that. Also play Killer 7 if you love wrestling games. I'm not going to tell you why. next one comes from Chris
the Wizard Hippie.
Oh, there you go. Well, okay, thank you. Gerard, as CEO of TOVG and the most transparent YouTuber, do you think it's easier to relate to your audience or have your audience relate to you because you're so open to the inside baseball of running a successful YouTube channel, Or is that just how you are naturally, and being open and transparent about the workings going on is how you stay sane? A little fan fiction going on here, but I think you can set them straight.
I mean, I'd love to hear Ted and your perspective of this, because I feel like
I have
one angle of who I am, but like whether I actually execute on said thing is a whole other question.
I think from outside, I think that you genuinely, for the most part, want people to know exactly what's going on here. But I also think that you, like me, agree that there is a huge knowledge gap between people on this side of the camera and the people who consume the things that we make about how things are done, not just in how video games are made, but how video games are marketed, how video games are published, how YouTube videos are made, how creators make money. You can complain about the algorithm as much as you want and be honest about it. And I think that I feel like in general, like when YouTubers do a video, like the one you do sometimes where it's like a serious face screenshot and the title has like one word in it, that's going to be something stupid. But yours is very much like, here's like literally what's happening right now. I want to like talk about it outwardly so that like you guys can stop bothering me about this, because you guys just don't understand what's going on and why I'm doing it. Like, I think you get a lot of respect for that. And I think that's like a smart thing to do, but I think we're all in the same boat where, you know, it's really hard because the people that consume our stuff, it's like, you know, when you talk about football or you talk about like music or movies with someone, it's like usually pretty like nerdy. Like people will tell me about like the studio sessions, like the studio, like the settings on the gear that the Beatles used. And like my dad can rattle off like the Hall of Fame guys from baseball for like 100 years. But gamers are such a broad group that it's hard to know who you're talking to exactly. So I don't know. I think your goal is to be perceived honestly. And I think you want people to see that you're trying to be their friend and that you're trying to like be not a trickster or a weird guy. And does it come across? I think like that's how I see it. And I'm in here. I'm in the room. I know what you do when nobody's watching. And I think that's the real deal. So I don't know. That's my perspective. I can't speak for Ted, but that's what I think it is. I think we all wish we could bring people in more, but at some point there's just going to be a knowledge gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Ted? What do you think?
I don't know if I really have anything more to add to what Alex was saying. I think you're definitely far more transparent than any other YouTuber I've come across or heard about, which I appreciate wholly. I think you're the captain of the ship, and you're like, guys, like we're staying afloat, but sometimes like it's not going so well, and I'm gonna tell you about it.
It's been advantageous, undeniably, as just like second banana. You know what I mean? Like in this brand, right? I don't run or own this brand or represent this brand almost at all, right? Like nobody, I don't come to mind as the person when you think about this brand, right? But there has definitely been some serious advantages and good things about being the good guys of YouTube the whole time that we've been a group, you know, like the fact that the outward view is that we're like good guys trying to do good things is good. So yeah. I don't know that we're not like leaning into it. I don't think we're trying to trick anyone though. So I don't know. Like, I mean, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I guess going through the questions, do I think it's easier to relate to your audience or have your audience relate to you?
Do you think it's easier because you're so open, or is that just you naturally doing what you do and it being easy as it's going to be? Like, is that something that you're trying to do? Are you trying to make it easier on yourself by being open, or are you just an open type of guy?
I think naturally I'm pretty open. I think it's hard. Look, criticism and feedback aside, it's hard to actually know what people think and say and feel about the stuff you output when 99% of your numbers that are there have no voice attached to it.
So it's also hard to believe that secrets don't give you power.
Yeah.
Because of how different your knowledge is from your fans' knowledge.
Well, so this is I'm thinking of this a lot lately, honestly. Nintendo Life did a featurette on LC at PAX. Zion,
the game that you're
one of the three games I'm publishing and producing. Zion, the writer and producer of that piece, we had a great interview at PAX, and he did a great job with the video, and it came out. And the first half of the comments were like, wow, very excited for this game, so excited, so pumped. And then like the conversation changed halfway through, and it like put a huge pit in my stomach, because it's like and that's my problem, is that the minute someone says something I actually think or feel, I feel very exposed.
You don't
want to
run away. Give up that control of that feeling.
Yeah. Right, right. And so I was reading those comment sections, and it was really brutal, because a lot of them clearly don't watch my content. Like they have no idea. They don't understand, right? Like a lot of them, a lot of them were like, hey, I guess he got into games because G4 exploded. And it's like, well, first off, asshole, I've been here for 12 years. So no,
it's just somebody not knowing what's really true.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you start seeing people calling me the commercialist because
I'm trying to make money.
Just because I'm like a brand puppet for a game company.
You're going into a business. I don't know.
Right. But like, when Greg left the show, we chose to continue that season being like the continually funny team that we had kind of established and continued. And then around 2017, 2018, we then made the shift to like make the content more serious and a little more performative, a little more adult based. Right. And like we changed the perspective altogether. And the content changed, and I feel good about that. But you start to see people just think, people are like, oh, Gerard tries to be funny and he's not. That was like the takeaway that I received a lot of information from that. And it's like, that's not true at all. I decided to not be funny in favor of I would say, quote unquote, better journalism or like better expression.
You just wanted to be
An adult.
Valuable. Yeah, you want to be valuable and not be like and this is not a roast against AVGN, but like a character that is made to have a certain opinion about video games.
Sure.
Yeah.
You expect Angry Joe and AVGN to have a nuclear or hotter than average.
They're also like so specifically from a very specific time and place.
Sure. And they're still doing it at the highest level. Like they're still doing their own thing, which is great.
It's like a fucking Baby Ruth bar that's like not been changed since 1930.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah.
But to kind of go along to circle that drain a little bit more, the reason why I've been so open is because I want to be honest in that a lot of content creators on the higher echelon of 10s to 20s to 30s of millions of subscribers, right? They paint this picture that it is cool to be a big YouTuber. Yeah. It is very easy to become a big YouTuber. It's like your life will be made if you do that.
They're like Russian oligarch funded, bro.
But I'm not true, but but I am living proof that I'm not as successful as them. I did not explode like they did, and it's not one tenth as easy as they make it look. It is so much harder.
I was talking about this the other day, though. Also, like, it's very frustrating to be judged when you can see that the person who's judging you doesn't have all the information. But that aside, like, fame and cultural importance and value is not measured by the algorithm. It's not measured by, like, dude, just think about it. Like, do you think that the amount of people that know you on site in the world is equal to the size of your YouTube channel compared to other people your size?
No.
Do you think people recognize 80% of the people at your size as much as they recognize you?
No.
And the reason for that is because you're actually a known entity in the space outside of your number that you have. Like, look at me. I'm constantly surprised that anybody knows anything that I've ever done. And it's because instead of playing this weird soulless SEO game that you have to play if you're trying to make money, you know, you start to build a reputation based on your actual output, like what's on sitting on the shelf in someone's house. You know what I mean? Like movies from the 80s sit on the shelf in your house. Nobody's like writing on the underneath them, like what they think of the movie and changing your opinion of the movie as you go. Like that idea that you're not as successful as somebody else monetarily might be true, but that doesn't mean shit. Like look at fucking actors that like die poor and they're like legends. Like, I don't know. There's something to that. There's just something to that. I think that being misunderstood is frustrating and being judged by people with not enough knowledge is frustrating, but we can't control it. But that's just what your 30s is getting over that type of shit. But, you know, I don't know. I think you are transparent and I think you do just try to do a good job. So I don't think you should overthink it too much. Like, hearing a bad opinion of your work doesn't mean that you're bad.
Right. And I think that's the problem you start to disassociate with more and more as time goes on, because you start to think a caricature of what people think of you and not what actually people think.
That's
of
what
you.
I was talking about. Sessler. It's the same. It's that exact thing. He's a great example of it because he's so different in real life.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess to kind of put the bow in this whole thing, I'm transparent because I feel like I have nothing to hide. And I think when the Greg stuff happened, for the first time ever in at the 5 year mark that we were doing YouTube all as a company, right? The company was a year old when the Greg stuff happened. I felt like I had to hide. I felt like I had to keep things secretive. I felt like I had to bury ourselves in the work and not communicate what was going on. Just because no matter what I would do or say, it was perceived as deceit, as lying, as
people are already programmed to like understand media in a certain way, understand media coverage in a certain way.
And to kind of wrap things up even further, like, I start this conversation with, I hope that my audience across multiple facets recognizes and respects who I am as much as I respect who you guys are. And that's the whole thing, is that when I felt more comfortable being more transparent, people felt uncomfortable. They don't feel like I'm actually being transparent, or that I only present my best foot forward as much as I can. And in all facets of social media, that is actually what you do, right? Like when you're on Instagram and you're at the fucking club, you try your best for an hour to sit there and take the good photo, not showing your fat rolls, not showing your bank account number for what you don't have to pay for things.
Your actual cool, fun activity that you've gone to go do has become part of your like shitty job that you don't even actually have.
Yeah. Quick story. Pat and I went to an event the other day. It was filled with content creators, and it was a very exclusive event. It was
Creator Clash 2, no, front
no,
row seats.
No, no, no. Totally different from that. There was a bunch of content creators that I knew, some a lot I didn't know. And as we're sitting there, Pat turns to me and goes, "I'm so glad you don't do shit like this." And I go, "What do you mean shit like this?" And he goes, "Look." And we look over, and some of the influencers are like twerking.
Yeah.
They're like twerking and taking a TikTok or...
That's what fun people do, bro.
And like I turn to him and I'm like, I have no respect against what they're doing. Like they're growing their brand and business. I respect the hustle. But at the same time, I have no want to like vlog and categorize and
dude, I've been this grumpy since 2015, man. I'm here. I'm with you.
I hate sharing. So when you guys see me share stuff online, know one of two things. One, it was uncomfortable for let me take it back. I love being transparent and honest and sharing my opinions and feelings. What I don't like is sharing.
Trying to give someone FOMO with a post.
Right. It's I don't like sharing it online. I don't like going on.
Eggs.
On,
I ate eggs.
Look at this cool fucking thing I got. Like, I don't like doing that. And if I do that, it's one of two things. One, I really think it's like a celebratory thing to enjoy. 1 million subscribers. I'm at G4.
Something that's relevant to that job.
Something is relevant to me and hopefully stuff that you guys like and appreciate, because I view this as like, a win for me is a win for you guys.
Like, like a press release.
Right.
Yeah.
Or two, which is more likely than not, Megan's posting on my behalf and I'm not actually posting it.
Yeah. Because we have to do that shit.
Cause I don't want to think about it. I don't want to sit there and think about how many likes, comments, retweets, engagements it got. Cause I don't give a shit. It hurts my stomach thinking about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I have one last thought.
Sure.
I would say 90% of the things Gerard is not transparent about is is like to protect the privacy and safety of people around him, whether they deserve it or not.
Yeah, exactly. He's like trying to be, he's trying to live in both worlds. Like people at the hospital listen to, in the emergency room, they listen to their phone without headphones at full volume, watching some shitty YouTube video. And they don't even think that there's anybody else around them in the hospital because who cares? It's we all, life sucks, whatever.
Yeah.
Like we can't give up on that stuff. We can't give up on the people around us in the real world. And, you know, and the things that happen in the real world that are like good and real and nobody can, that nobody can take from you. Just, you know, stuff to think about. Let's go, let's move on to the fan Q&A.
Hate that.
That's a good one. I'm trying that one out. I'm going to do that one. I hope I remember that because I'm going to do that one again. This is a light question, light conversation topic comparatively. The question last week was, what IP would you resurrect? Could be any item, not just a movie or game. And please, if you don't mind, also explain how you would do it. So this is fun. Could be anything. And I'm not going to put you on the spot here, Gerard. I'll ask you at the end what your answer is. But let's just get into our patrons. KDD says, Tenchu Stealth Assassins, dude. That game holds a dear spot in my memories of playing with my dad and brother on our OG PlayStation and making fun of the voice acting. Not only that, but I also feel like it's severely underappreciated. I've always loved stealth games, so maybe I'm biased, but the first few games in the series had a lot of fun challenges. Most levels could be completed pretty easily for more casual players, but it added extra challenge by making it more difficult to achieve a Grandmaster rank. The mechanic of the key meter, the thing that allowed you to know how close an enemy was and their status, was so clever to IMO. If I were to bring it back now, I would love to have a game similar to the first few entries in the series with an update to the graphics and control scheme, those PS1 era tank controls, oof. And to make it have more of a modern feel, it would be really fun to revisit and maybe an update to some of those awful line reads in the voice acting, lol. I love Tenchu. I was excited thinking that From Software was making a Tenchu game for so long.
Basically, it's what Sekiro almost was.
Yeah, if there was like a little more stealth in Sekiro and a little bit less like giant monkeys that you have to cut the head off of, I would be super, I love Tenchu. I agree with this. Tenchu was like Metal Gear Solid with ninjas. It was super fun. And if you haven't played Tenchu Wrath of Heaven for PS2, you should. It's really good. You want to take the next one?
Yeah. Brad Schubert. Schubert. Said, I wish Old Spice would bring back their Matterhorn scent / body wash. Many years ago, just after graduating high school, when I would go to the disc out to disc golf and smoke copious amounts of weed with my friends, I would come back home and promptly shower using this delightful scent, mostly to cover up the weed smell so my parents wouldn't catch on. When you smoke with a gas mask, however, that shit lingers.
What the fuck?
Matterhorn is heavily nostalgia-based, of course, but this exact scent takes me back to much simpler times. Times involved working at a pizza place, playing shows with my band, writing music, around town, bullshitting, having far less responsibilities.
That's where Matterhorn takes you?
I'm a composer now, so perhaps I could write a theme or motif for the scent. I could also create a visualizer or a video to go along with the theme. That would utilize my current skill set for any sort of campaign. Here's to ice, wind, and freedom. Cheers, you guys.
I love that.
What a great comment.
That was the realest reply ever. Yeah.
Yeah, really loved that.
I remember that smell.
I remember that smell. And more importantly, Brad, all of your memories are memories that I think Alex and I both have had.
Yeah. Except I've never really had to like hide my smoking.
Yeah.
Like I think maybe because I'm from California. Like it's just so funny to me to think about smoking with a gas mask on. That's like so hardcore. Like I used to have a friend who used to blow that shit into the little fabric softening sheets or whatever. That shit didn't work. All right. Next one's from Marissa. She says, let me spend hundreds of hours raising chows in a new iteration of the Chow Garden. Using Sonic Adventure 2 Battle as the blueprint, expand the possible evolutions and chows that you can get, you can only get from reincarnating them, more gardens that are directly connected to the areas where you can get that start, boosting the stat boosting things, more interactions with the player character and the chaos and the chows with each other. I love the races and karate matches, and it'd be great to expand that more as well. For collecting the stat boosters, make it only one quarter of the game, and it could even be a going around and harvesting things. I don't need to play the whole level to raise my adorable babies that have dragon breath and a peacock tail. It doesn't even need to be a Sonic game for me. Give me a whole new protagonist. I just want those adorable infants back in my life in a new way.
Marissa, I have some phenomenal news for you.
Say go, Kabos. What? Say Gokobos. What do you mean by that?
No. Marissa, I don't know if you know, but right now there's a content creator named Chad Tronic, who's a good friend of mine.
Oh, what a mensch.
Who is releasing his own game that you are describing. It is called Poglings.
Yes.
And it is on Kickstarter right now.
It looks great.
I have seen I've known about Poglings for many years. I've helped Chad out with some of the some advice on how to market it. He's been crushing it. They destroyed their goal and more. What you're describing is exactly that. Go check it out. This is an official plug for Poglings on Kickstarter. Our boy Grant Kirkhope and T Lopes are doing guest tracks for the game.
Hashtag ad. Hashtag.
I'm not getting paid for it.
Hashtag red.
I invested in it.
Hashtag red.
Hashtag pay me, Chad. What the fuck?
Hashtag Chad. What's up, man?
Yeah.
Hashtag Chad. Where's my ad?
But I agree. Chow Garden shit is hype. It's very, very hype.
Where's my ad, Chad?
Very, very hype.
Yeah. Hell yeah. This one is for you. This bud's for you.
Fru for all. No pronouns. They were not listed. There was a show that came out a long time ago I could remember that it had a song Uprising from Muse in the trailer. It was a very short-lived series called Flash Forward.
Dude.
Where everybody in the world flash forward like 5 minutes to their future. And if I remember correctly, it had Dominic Monaghan.
Mary from Lord of the Rings.
And it was quite a good show that got canceled quickly. I would reboot that. I can't speak to that.
I love this. This show was on like around the same time as Lost. It was fucking tight. I don't think it was 5 minutes. It was like, you flash forward like everybody to a specific time.
Yeah.
And people were freaking out because some people were like flashing forward and seeing nothing. And they're like, does that mean I'm dead?
Yeah.
And the world started coming down around, and it had Commodore Norrington in there. And it had
the worst part I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it had that Romulan chick from Picard season 1 in there.
Yep.
And it had the guy, the Fiennes brother, who's not Voldemort, Joseph Fiennes. Like not Ralph Fiennes, but Joseph Fiennes, his brother.
The Fiennes brothers.
No, he's the guy. That. He's the guy from Enemy at the Gates, who's like the other guy who's not Jude Law. Sure. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
It was a great show. It had John Cho in there also, and it had the famous Jen Jackson in there as well. He's in there.
You missed it. Rip pouring out.
Yeah, he actually jumps off a building in the show. Pretty crazy. But great show. Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Fru. Next one is from Jacob Draws, who says, I would bring back Symbionic Titan. It was a Gennady Tartakovsky cartoon that came out in 2010, and it was sadly canceled after one season. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's about a princess, her bodyguard, and a robot who escaped their home planet after a violent coup takes place, and they hide on Earth while the man who took over their planet tries to kill them by sending monsters to Earth. And they have a mecha they fight them off in. Very cool stuff. I would revive it with one more season. The first half would be very similar to the bulk of the show, which is more Monster of the Week-esque, and the second half would ramp up the plot and be more of a single storyline that follows through to the end. Much like the Samurai Jack revival, I would probably gear it a bit more towards more mature and bloody, which the original show kind of always wanted to be, I think. Love that. Love the idea. Love Gennady Tartakovsky. I want to guide you towards the show Primal, if you haven't seen it, about a caveman and a dinosaur that team up that are lifelong friends. That's like a wordless Gennady Tartakovsky adult gory show. But other than that, I love that you thought it through. Are you a big Gennady fan?
Can't say I am. I don't know the work.
He's the guy that did like Samurai Jack, did those like Star Wars cartoons that were like the 2D ones that were like really stylistic. I think he did like
the Clone Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, I think like, but the non-CG ones.
Yeah.
Right. And I think he did like Dexter's Lab or Powerpuff Girls or one of those, or maybe both. Yeah, I can't remember.
Those art styles seem very specific to that.
Yeah. That's Gennady Tartakovsky.
Gotcha.
Very, very good stuff. Like
this is
animation genius.
This is from Tim. Sorry. Got a big stretch going on.
Oh, he's gonna big get stretch. Out. Big stretch. That 90 minute episode mark.
This is an easy one that I thought about for years. Yeah, I know they've done 2-ish live action series, which were okay, but I would really, really, really love to see a live action-ish full-length film of The Tick.
Yes.
Use some of the same tech they used for She-Hulk to make him pseudo-CGI. The movie should be played dark and serious and not played for laughs, but it should still be funny, if that makes sense. Think Ghostbusters or Scott Pilgrim.
Those are pretty funny movies.
The movie itself, yeah, but the tone is a little...
I would say that Ghostbusters is absolutely played for laughs, but you know,
sure.
Yeah.
I agree. The Frighteners is a great vibe. The movie itself should basically combine the stories of the two of the more iconic episodes from the first season of the animated show from Arthur's origin story. Also, Arthur should never reveal his face in the movie.
Great.
The Tick arrives in the city as the Idea Man are ramping up their crime spree. Arthur and the Tick team up and thwart their damn ransom plans. And they then stumble upon another plot that leads to a cinematic confrontation with Chairface Chippendale himself. He tries to carve his name in the moon for his birthday.
Great.
The Tick is the quintessential satire and antithesis of the modern superhero trope. With all the Marvel fatigue and the turmoil of the DCU currently, I think it'd be a perfect time to bring him back to poke fun at those and other parts of the zeitgeist.
Yeah, he's like the opposite of the Watchmen.
And I don't think it should be lead to a sequel or a larger universe. It should just be its own one-off thing that wraps up with a satisfactory resolution. No post-credit scene, no Nick Fury shows up unless it's doing something with the satire trope too. Anyways, that's what I got. Unless you want me to tell you about the teaser trailer I've had in my head for years for this. Winky tongue out face.
Well, look, here's what's up. I like the idea of this. I love the Tick. I love any sort of like really smart, clever satire like this. Venture Bros, Venture Bros, Venture Bros. I can't say it enough. The Tick is like the original Venture Bros. I love the Tick. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Batman Well should be in the movie. I love Batman Well. Shout outs to Nestor Carbonell from Lost. What's up? Okay. Question for you.
Yeah.
What would you bring back that's gone? Any IP, could be a snack, could be a product, could be a game, could be a movie, could be a TV show. What's coming back?
Oh man. Dude, what a fucking.
Yeah, what's coming back? What do we love? What can't we have?
I would love a reboot. Not a reboot. Damn, I don't know. Ted, do you have the answer for this? I have to think about this.
I answered it last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we already.
You guys already answered this.
Yeah, we were here.
Okay. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I'd love to bring back Brave Fencer Musashi.
Dude.
I think it's time.
Yes.
I think it's time. You know,
Brave Fencer Musashi is so fun.
What people don't realize is that it's basically a modern day samurai gets brought back to the past.
Back to the past samurai, Jack.
Yeah. And it's all food puns and based, but like it's got cute anime voice acting.
Go turn that on right now if you never played it.
I mean, good luck finding it. You'll have to.
Is it not on PS5? What are they doing?
It got released on PS3.
Oh,
and dude, you can get on PSP and that's about it.
Get Brave Fencer Musashi on PS5 and put fucking God Hand on PS5. All right. Next week's question. This is something for all three of us. What's your wildest / favorite shower thought? Go as deep into it as possible. Really put us there.
I got one.
Go, Ted.
Okay.
I tweeted this a while ago, but I'm like sticking to it that there are no ghosts in the world, just abandoned imaginary friends that are bitter.
Oh, shit. And they're like, fuck yeah, I'm a ghost, you bitch.
They're like, my kid abandoned me. I'm going to go haunt some dumbass people.
Wow.
I love that.
Alex, what about you?
I love that. I love ruminating about Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando, I was on Twitter like a couple weeks ago, and there was a thread going around about Marlon Brando, and I just don't know how much of it's true. As you know, he became like a big fat man in his later days, but apparently the eating never wasn't there. He just was like a healthy young man, and he was like in movies and he would like work out to like keep his physique, but he always ate a lot. There's like stories of him like running out into a lake with 5 gallons of ice cream while the director's begging him to not eat it. And he's like bursting out of his costumes. There's stories of him trying to lose weight for movies and having like the little neighbor boy go to Burger King and throw Whoppers in a bag over his wall during the middle of the day. There's like all these crazy stories. He made Mounds bars in real life by pouring melted chocolate into a coconut and like scooping it out. He would eat all the time, but the story like continues into like, then he would like reach into a fucking lake and pull out a frog during a shoot and just take a bite out of the frog and throw it back in the lake. And then the stories go, he's fishing rats out of fucking rat traps and eating them.
What,
or he's eating neighborhood pets. And I don't know how far it goes. I don't know how far down that rabbit hole goes. But I just want to know, was the Godfather, did the Godfather eat that cat? You know, like what is that? What happened there? Yeah. What's going on with Marlon Brando? You know, that's the type of shit that I'm thinking about in the shower. What's up with that?
What about that's great.
Yeah. So that's what we got. What did you already answer it?
No. I don't know. A lot of my shower thoughts aren't like generic. They're more specific to me. Like when I'm in the shower, I'm like, fuck, man, that thing I said in 2015 was fucking stupid. I can't believe I said that.
Dude, I still think about fucking stuff like that.
What's the thing I constantly think about that always pops in my brain every day?
When I'm in the shower, I'm like, what if somebody comes in here and tries to beat my ass? What would I do? How would I fight them?
Honestly, one thing I always think about every day is... I don't know if it's appropriate. It's the Greg stuff. For years.
Every day.
For years I used to like think,
oh,
I'm never gonna survive this and it's gonna just kill me. And then like eventually I received peace. But since 2019, almost every day when I'm in the shower, I'm like, I don't know if I handle that right. And I like try and map out hundreds of scenarios in my head, and I still never find the solution that was like the one that I wanted.
The wild thing is that that's what everybody does,
right? And I think that's the shower thought of the generality of it all, is like you think about, man, I really wish the situation didn't turn out this way.
Yeah, it's nuts. But
I guess now it's G4 for me.
Yeah,
I'm always like, how could I have saved it? How could I have made that other person hate me?
I'm just paranoid that everybody's trying to like Game of Thrones me all the time.
Honestly, I feel that too.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like it makes me paranoid.
People think I'm trying to Game of Thrones them. And
that's,
I'm like,
that's what everybody thinks. I'm like, everybody,
I don't want shit from anyone.
I speak freely and I'm like, shit, did I just convince that person that I'm like a spy? You know?
Yeah,
I don't
know.
It sucks. But that's what it's like to have a brain and thoughts. It's crazy. Please write your answers in the comment section below. If you're watching this on YouTube, we will grab, as always, some responses from there. But also, please head over to patreon.com/superbeardbros. You get the deal, right? We ask you a bunch of stuff that only you can answer on the Patreon so that you guys can get a little bit more involved if you want to. That's a thank you to us from you. To you from us for supporting us. We got there. Yeah, and so thank you for listening. Patreon.com/superbeardbros. 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 I've been Alex.
I am Gerard.
And I was Ted.
And we'll see you guys next time. Thank you for listening. I love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I want Ted to say more.
Bye. More.
More.
More. More. More sugar.
Bye.
More sugar.
Bye.
All right. See you later.
My name is Ted Coonrot. Enjoy the show.